and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. In other words, that unrighteous things that will deceive us. All deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, what cause? They refuse to receive. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
Amen. Now, the Apostle John, we're not going to go there, but Apostle John in 1 John, he says there's a spirit of Antichrist. That means an attitude, a persona of Antichrist. He said many Antichrists have come into the world already. There have been many. Antichrist in that particular meaning doesn't mean a person. It means persons or either movements or anything else that is Antichrist. In this particular one, though, by the way, the spirit of Antichrist exists today. It exists in our country, that spirit of Antichrist. Not that he's like a Holy Spirit, but that attitude, that feeling, those hurtful things that would hurt the body of Christ or the teaching of Christ or those things. That's an Antichrist spirit, see. And there have been many Antichrists, many men and women who have been against Jesus Christ, and there still are some. There's some in our government. That shocks you, don't it? There's some in churches. There's some in denominations. They can have religion, still not have Christ. They can be an antichrist and still be a preacher, pastor, bishop, elder, whatever else they want to call themselves, pope, whatever they want to name themselves. They can have that spirit of antichrist and really be against the things of Christ to exalt themselves or some kind of program or something. And we've seen a lot of those. Jim Jones, Young Sung Moon. I don't know, there's so many of them. The Mormons, the Jehovah's Witness, all those are led by the spirit of Antichrist. They are Antichrist. And if you don't believe it, you say, well, they talk about Jesus, but they're talking about John said, they're talking about another Jesus. Not the Jesus, not the real one, not the one that we know, but another Jesus. In this particular passage, he's talking about in the last days, after the rapture of the church. Now, we've talked about that. We've went all through that. The trumpet of sound, the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be called up together to be with them in the air. And this corruptible will put on incorruption, and this mortal will put on immortality. And then we'll have victory over sin, death, hell, and the grave. And we'll live in heaven for 7 years and have our judgment for our works for reward. And we'll go to the supper. Well, first we're going to get wedded. Amen. We're going to the wedding, the marriage feast. Amen. You're going to make a pretty bride, but I tell you, not real good right now, but it'll look good then. We're going to the wedding feast. We're going to rejoice and shout. Presbyterians will shout at the wedding feast. Methodists will shout at the wedding feast. Some Baptists will shout at the wedding feast after they get over the judgment seat. But the spirit of Antichrist already is predominant. You can see it. You can see it in the politics. You can hear it in the movie star, the singers, the athletes, everything. It's just that feeling, that spirit. There's some places you don't want to go because you can actually feel that. And there's some people you don't want to be around because you can actually hear that through them. That spirit of Antichrist. And he said, now that's already in the world. And there's been many Antichrists. They've come and gone. All of them would have been the Antichrist if they'd had their way. But God wasn't ready for that because the Holy Spirit hindered them. Just as he said, as long as the Holy Spirit is hindering them, they can't fulfill that. But one day when we're taken out of the way, the Holy Spirit will go up with us, and then the Antichrist will have his way. God will turn him loose, and he'll have his way. And tonight I just want to show you a little bit of difference between the Christ that we're celebrating this week and this opposite of Christ. Now, in some ways, they're going to look a lot alike. In some ways, they sound a lot alike. And you take the Pope, for example, you know, when he comes out and talks about poor people, you know, and says peace and safety, and all that, that sounds real good. Jesus talked like that. But then when he talks about other things, you can tell he's not the Christ. Amen? And so I just want to show you a couple things in this, and we'll go home probably eat some more ham and mashed taters and apples and oranges. And by the way, some people don't think much about those apples and oranges, but you old people, you remember when we didn't get apples and oranges and bananas. We didn't get them. It wasn't just we was poor. They didn't sell them, that kind of stuff. And thank God for modern. Now, the Antichrist didn't invent the modern grocery store. It come real close with Walmart, though. Amen. That's Bible preaching. I'm preached the Bible whether you want to hear it or not. Number one, I want you to notice this. He's called the lawless one. He's the complete spiritual darkness 100%. As Jesus was complete spiritual light, this man, and it will be a man, this man will be complete spiritual darkness. Anything he teaches, anything he says will be darkness. It will not be light. It won't lead you into light. It won't lead you into truth. It will lead you into darkness. He said there in verse 3, he said, let no man deceive you by any means. That day shall not come except they're coming and falling away first. That means those that believe or said they did don't. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The son of perdition. Now, that's hell. Darkness. That's darkness. And he's the son of darkness, for Jesus is light. And then, think about this. Turn to Daniel 9:27. I want you to notice this. And boy, this is the day we live in here. Daniel 9:27. And I've been tossing this stuff around for 2 weeks, and there's so much, there's no way you can put it all in one sermon, but we're going to hit the high spots. Daniel 9:27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That's now this is Daniel. He's talking about a week of years and years of weeks. He's not talking about a day. He's talking about for 7 years he's going to have a covenant with Israel. Now this is Daniel talking to Israel, okay? And he'll have a covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, in the middle of that, 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. In other words, he's going to allow them to rebuild the temple. He's going to allow them to start the sacrifices again. I told y'all, I read recently that a lot of Jews are getting back the way they used to be. And there's one group that's looking for the Savior, their first coming Savior. And so they want to start the sacrifices at the temple back. But since there's no temple, they can't, because the Muslims are occupying that property right now on Temple Mount with that old mosque. But these guys, they said, well, we're going to go ahead and start offering sacrifices at the Eastern Gate. And of course, you know the Eastern Gate. That's the one Jesus come back through when he entered. But it's bricked up right now. So they put that big altar to make blood sacrifices and fire sacrifices there on that altar. And the Israeli government stopped them. Said, you can't do that because you have to do it where the temple was. And they said, we can't get to the temple. The Muslims are there. Let us do that. And they said, no, we're not going to let you do that. That'll cause a world war. We're not going to do that. So they wouldn't let them do that. And then they said, okay, we're just going to make the sacrifice, the bullock sacrifices right here and the lamb sacrifices right here because our nation, their sins need to be washed away. That's the Jews talking about the Jews. And the government said, no, you can't do that. That'll make the Muslims mad. So they made them move it to a little town outside Jerusalem. And they did it. They started making smaller sacrifices. But they're getting ready for that temple. They've already made the furniture. I've read where a group of Muslim, I don't know the name of it, but it's a lot of rabbis, they have recreated the candelabra. They've recreated the snuffer, and they've recreated the brass laver to wash and stuff in. They're recreating all that furniture just like it told them to in the Old Testament. They're getting ready for the temple. They've got the furniture ready. They've got the sacrifices ready. They just need a temple. And so this crook, he's going to be a crooked politician. That's what he's going to be. Boy, we got a bunch of them to choose from, don't we? He's going to be a crooked politician, and he's going to make friends with Israel, and he's going to let them for 3.5 years have their way. And then one day he's going to walk in there and sit on that throne in the temple and call himself God, and he's going to break his covenant with them in the middle of the 7 years. He's a lying, cheating, stealing politician type, the Antichrist is. He'll be smooth-tongued orator. He'll be able to move people with his speech, just like a good politician would. But boys, the devil got a lot to choose from the day we live in. That's all I can say. Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. I'm talking about the profile of the Antichrist. What's he going to look like? Now, I can't tell you what his skin looks like. I have some ideas. I can't tell you what his eyes look like. I have some ideas. But I can tell you the basic of how to recognize him. His profile. Like the police profiles people. They ever done that to you? They've done it to you. Like the police profile people. They go here every day. And this is what, this is their habits. And this is their hobbies. And here's their friends and all these things. They'll profile you. And by the way, you think they haven't profiled you. They might have. Chapter 7 in Daniel, look at verse 25. He shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times. There it is again, 2 years there, and the dividing of times. That's 2.5. Now, he is going to be a person. He's going to be, and I call it a satanic reformer. That's what he's going to be. He's going to make deals with religious people, and he's going to change God's laws, God's practices to suit these religious people. And then he's going to change times and ceremonies and everything else. Turn over to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. We'll stay there a while. But in Revelation chapter 13, if you will, look at verse 3. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now, he's going to be a satanic empowered, and that proves he's satanic empowered right there. He's going to have a mortal wound, he's going to die, and he's coming back to life. Right. And he's going to be a reformer of religion. And he's going to put all the religions together. Because, see, the troublemakers like you are going to be gone. Amen. That's exactly what it is. He'll say, boy, now that them people's gone, we can get together. We can have one religion, and one leader, and one book, and one faith, and one baptism. All you got to do is follow me, and I'll teach you how to do it. He's going to be a great reformer among... Because, look, let's be honest. Everybody in church is not saved. Everybody in church is not saved. So after the rapture, there's going to be a lot of people left. Jesus said, why is that gate to destruction? Many there be that go therein. He said, it's narrow is the way to life. Narrow. There's not many people going to be saved. Comparatively speaking to population. So all these people are going to be left. The rapture happened, and next Sunday, if it happened this week, next Sunday, the churches will still have services. Come on, that's the truth. You know it's the truth. And this guy is going to come up, and he is going to unite all those people together. And in order to do that, he's got to change things. I mean, in order for all these different religions to get along, there's got to be some compromise. There's got to be some giving and some taking. I can't worship with a Muslim, can you? No, you can't. I'd keep one eye open while we was praying. I can't worship with a Jehovah's Witness, can you? No, sir. No, sir. So this guy's going to be a great religious reformer. He's going to change God's law to make it where everybody can be accepted, that universal religion, that brotherhood of man and fatherhood of God thing, you know. and he's going to merge them and melt them all together. But wait a minute, in order to prove that he is that, he's going to die and raise that body again. You say he can't do that. Well, we started off, it says he's going to be doing lying wonders. He's going to be doing miracles. And when you see those crooks, those preachers on television, you know, if you ever notice that when people come up to get healed, it's something you can't see. It's something you can't see. They don't do miracles, not real ones. But this guy do real ones. Have you ever seen somebody come up to Ernest Angley with an eye missing and he give him another one? That'd be a miracle. Instead, he says they got a hemorrhage somewhere and he just healed it. How do you know? You don't know that. But this guy did the real thing. He's going to raise his own body. Come on. He's going to be a religious reformer. Now, it ain't the Hell's Angels. It's not Hell's Bells. It's not that crowd down there at the Do Drop In or the Country Corral or whatever that wasn't where y'all ate for your... Okay. Golden Corral, okay. It's not the people down there at the Country Corral. It's not the people over there at the bar. This guy and his followers are going to be very religious people. Most dangerous people in the world are religious people. I don't have any religion. I have Christ in me, the hope of glory. People will tell me, they'll say, well, you're very religious. I say, no, I'm not. I don't light any candles. I don't chant. By the way, that's why I don't like candlelight services. I don't light any candles. I don't chant any chants. I've got no statues I worship or burn incense to. I have no rituals I go through. I just try to live for Jesus. That's all I'm trying to do. And if you want to call that religion, that's fine. But religious people, they're fanatical. And they call us fanatics. They say all they want to do is talk about Jesus. But I've got news for you. You rub the religious crowd the wrong way, they'll crucify you. They did it to Jesus. That's the biggest, meanest crowd in town right there. They crucified him. Amen. And he told them, he didn't have religion. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. He didn't say it came through the temple. He didn't say it come through the ceremonies and all that. But anyway, he's going to be a satanic reformer. And do you not see that happening right now?
Yes.
The Episcopal Church just ordained the first woman, homosexual woman, leader to their whole church.
Yes.
Not ashamed of it. Most Baptists now carry an NIV, and one of the women on the translating committee was a bishop of some, I forget what church she was, and she was a publicly pronounced homosexual woman that was married to another woman and lived with her openly and unashamed. Now, I wouldn't carry that Bible, amen. But anyway, it's happening more and more. People are saying, we don't live like we did in the 40s. We don't do. Somebody told me one day, they said, Brother Ron, you want to take the church all the way back to the 50s? I said, no, I don't. I want to take it all the way back to the first century. Amen. They said, we got to grow on. We got to grow. We got to progress. That's not progression. That's compromise. That's compromise. We'll not do that. We'll not do that. But he'll get people to do it. And don't you see that spirit of Antichrist getting people ready to follow that right now? Anything goes. And you better not judge anything. And you better not say something's wrong anymore. No, sir. No, sir. You're a bigot. You're a homophobic. You're Islamophobic. You're some of those words I can't even pronounce that they call us. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. It's getting ready. The churches are getting... Even Baptist churches. Even Baptist churches. A lot of Baptist churches would kick old-fashioned fire-preaching preacher out of their pulpit. Matter of fact, there's one here in town who did the two of them that the deacons run off. One of them because he preached on hell four Sundays in a row, and they told him, you can't do that. If you do that again, we're going to fire you. So he wrote out his resignation, put it in the back of his pulpit, came in that next Sunday and preached on hell. And when it was over, he handed it to him. Another one, the preacher preached against Mormonism, mentioned it, didn't preach against it, mentioned it several times, and one of the leaders in the church came to him and said, you can't do that. You don't preach against other religions. Besides that, my daughter's a Mormon. If you do that again, we're going to fire you. And he did it again, and those two deacons at the end of the service got up and escorted him off the platform and out the door and said, don't ever come back here again. I'd have shook the dust off my feet and said, praise God, hallelujah, amen. Yes. Amen. I'd have said, free indeed. There was no one in town. They told him, said, you got to write out your sermons so we can approve them. I said, it'd be a cold day where the booger man's going if I write my sermons up. Besides that, you can't read my book. You can't read it. It might be on a napkin. You don't ever know. But listen, that spirit of Antichrist is here. And he's going to be a great reformer. I can't say that enough. He's going to be a great reformer. And billions of people will follow him. He'll have access to something no other Antichrist has ever had. Live TV, live internet, everything, right on spot. And people will hear him immediately as soon as he talks. And boy, ain't they going to eat that up. And so I said, number one, he's called the lawless one. Number two, he's a crooked one. He's going to change times and laws of God. And number three, I say he's going to be a satanic reformer. And then go back to 2 Thessalonians, if you will, and I want you to notice something else. Now, I know I'm not the sharpest tack in the box, but I read pretty good. And when I read something, I usually take it at what it says. Amen. Somebody said, you take the Bible literally. I said, unless it's impossible, I do. I said, everything in the Bible I don't understand. Yes, but if I don't understand it, I ain't changing it. Just, and later on, by the way, you might will understand it. It just may not be time to understand it. Can you imagine what our ancestors used to teach and preach and what they didn't understand, and now in the age that we live in, we can see it? Yes. We say, well, that's what he's talking about right there. And so go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, look at verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 again. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. He's called the man of sin. Now that's his testimony. Jesus was called the son of righteousness. This man's called the man of sin. There'll be nothing too low for him. There'll be nothing too perverted for him. And there's another scripture that says he'll have no use for women. People didn't used to know what that means. We know what that means now, don't we? We know what that means. And so he's called the man of sin. But I want you to notice this. He's called the son of perdition. Perdition being hell. Perdition being punishment. Outer darkness. Perdition. Now Jesus was called the son of God, who came down from where? Heaven. And this man's just the opposite. He's the son of hell. And now, there's a lot involved in that, and I don't understand all of it, but I know this. Did you know that Judas was called the son of perdition? And what was Judas? He was a lying, hypocrite professor of faith. And listen, he was greedy. And he was dark. He dealt with dark people. In the darkness of night, he betrayed the Lord. In the darkness of night, he made a deal with other Antichrist type people for money. Yeah. Now, we can compare Jesus, the Son of Light, who came down from heaven, to the Antichrist, the Son of Darkness, who his spirit is going to come up from the darkest hell. You know what I think that means? Do you remember that Judas, the Bible says, that the devil entered into him? Did you know there's nowhere else in the Bible that the Bible says that that the devil entered into anybody else, Maddie? Did y'all know that? Did you know demon possession is angelic beings, demonic, that possess people, but it's not satanic possession? It's demonic. Nowhere in the Bible will you see where Jesus cast out Satan. Now, they accused him of that. They said he's Satan casting out demons. He said, no, I'm not Satan. Satan wouldn't cast out Satan. But he cast out demons. But Judas was the only one, it says, was possessed by Satan himself. This man's going to be possessed by Satan. He's son of perdition. Just as God possess Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, y'all get me? He was possessed by God. The only man's ever been that. We've never been possessed by God. We've been possessed by the Holy Spirit, if you're saved. But we've never been possessed by God the Father. Only one man had that. That was Jesus Christ. Only one man's ever been possessed by the devil himself. That was Judas. But this right here calls him the same thing that they called Judas, the son of perdition, the son of hell. Y'all still with me? Alright, now, he's called the man of sin. The man of sin. Now, if that's the reputation, then that's all he is, sin. Satan is sin. I mean, he is the epitome of sin. He is the one that created all sin. He is the originator. He is the instigator of sin, right? Right? Come on, help me. Well, this man's going to be the same thing. There'll be nothing too wicked for this man. Nothing too wicked. Now, let's be honest. Let's be honest. Everybody can put your thing cap on. I see some old gray hair and others that's died. Not death, died hair. And but let's be honest. We've known some wicked people in our lives. We have. We've known some wicked people. Growing up, I knew some people I was scared of. I'm serious. They were wicked. I was scared. I was scared to be around them. That's how wicked they were. And they were vile people. They were vile. There was nothing they wouldn't say or do. Nothing. And then laugh about it. They'd hurt people and just laugh about it. Just laugh because they hurt them. And this man here is going to be 10,000 times worse than that. Now, in our country, listen, we have laws because we have built a country on the Word of God. We've got laws that protect us from wicked people. Because believe it or not, the Bible was our original blueprint for the Constitution and our laws. Other countries don't have that. Over here, very seldom, maybe once in a lifetime, you might hear or read about somebody getting beheaded. In other countries, it's a daily occurrence. In other countries, you'll hear how, especially around Africa and where they worship the devil and things like that, you'll hear where the whole tribes, a group of men go in with machetes and just chop people up, men, women, and children, just chop them up. Wicked. The epitome of wicked. Well, this man's going to make those people look like Sunday school teachers. That's scary. I thank God I ain't going to be here. But what a warn people. I said he's called a lawless one. He's like a crooked politician. Great swelling words. He's a satanic reformer of religion. He's the man of sin himself. Now turn to Revelation chapter 13. I'm just giving you an outline, a profile of what this man's going to be like. Revelation chapter 13 again. Look at verse 8 and 12. 8 and 12. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, that means they're not saved. These are unsaved people, see. And all unsaved people will worship him. I've heard people say, well, I'll wait until all this happens and then I'll believe on Jesus. I said, no, you've got to go back to 2 Thessalonians. He'll cause you to believe a lie, so you'll be damned if you won't receive the truth now. He's not going to let you receive it then. I mean, that's just, God's a fair God. He's not going to let me and you trust Christ and live for Christ and then some old sorry, low-down crook at the last minute of his life call on Christ and be saved during the tribulation period. They're all going to worship him. They're all going to be deceived, every one of them. And now look at verse 13. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. He's going to be the self-declared God of this world. The self, and he's going to have signs and wonders to prove it. Now we already know he's the God of this world, don't we? The worldly system, y'all. Don't we know that? Satan is the God of this world. The Bible says that. He's the God of this world. But he's not just going to be the God of this world system then. He's going to be the God of everybody in the world then. And he's going to have authority to perform functions that only God himself could do, like pulling fire down from heaven. Look at Revelation 13 now. Look at verse 5. Revelation 13, look at verse 5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. He's going to be a blasphemer. He's going to curse God and curse everything about God and everything that's good and holy. He's going to blaspheme it. There ain't nothing worse than a filthy mouth in a public place. I mean, you go out in public now, you'll hear people say things that I ran with the bad crowd when I was young, and we only said those in private, what they're saying in public now. You turn on the TV. And if it's regular TV, you're not on something like Roku or something where you can get around it, or you know, don't have it or something, record something you do like, or those old cowboy channels and the Ozzie and Harriet and Leave It to Beaver and all that stuff. You won't be between commercials before you hear ungodliness on that TV. I remember when that started. I wasn't saved long. It was probably about 1979 when they first started letting people cuss on television. And now there's nudity on television. And look, it's becoming normal. It's normal. If you let your kids listen to rock music and rap music today that we live in, you need to get your head examined. Or maybe your heart. I pulled up to a stop sign the other day, stoplight the other day, right down here, and the loudest rap. Now, I come from the rock culture, you know. We grew up with that stuff. But this rap stuff was going on, and it was some of the ungodliest, filthiest thing I'd ever heard. And I thought, that's got to be a gangster black boy. And I looked up there, and there's a little old blonde-headed teenage girl listening to it. And I thought, that girl's degrading herself listening to that trash. Talking about what that guy was talking about, girls, women. And so it's getting more and more normal to be blasphemous. God's name in vain. Well, I can't stand that. I can't stand that. I don't work a public job anymore, but before I sold insurance, I worked warehousing. And I used to work with this old boy. And then before that, I did construction work, putting insulation in houses. I worked with another one. And it was God's name this, and God's name that, and God's name this, and God's name that. And finally, we was putting in insulation in one of the big houses up there at Lake Wiley one day. And that old boy, I don't know, I might have been 30 years old at the most. And he kept on, and I done told him, don't talk like that. I'm a Christian, don't want to hear it. And he got up there and got mad and started, God this and God that, you know. I walked over and I picked up a 2x4, and he was on a ladder about 20 feet up. And I said, if you say that one more time, I'm going to knock this leg out from this ladder. When you get down here, I'm going to hit you with it. He said, I thought you was a Christian. I said, I am. That's why I'm going to do it. I said, what's your daddy's name? He said, Harry. I said, I don't cuss every time I call your daddy's name. He said, he ain't much of a Christian. I said, I may not be, but Lord, forgive me. Yes. And then y'all know that story about that one in the warehouse. He was taking steroids. He was crazy as a bed bug. And he did God this and God that. Finally, I picked up that steel bar from that door dock about that long, about that big round. I walked over there, and he was muscle-bound. Not much brain, a lot of muscle. And I walked up in that trailer. I said, now say it one more time. I done told you, and I told you, and I told you, and I don't want to hear it, and you know I don't want to hear it, and you think you can run over me because I'm a Christian. I'm going to hit you right square between the eyes with this steel bar if you say it again. Now, he could have broke me in half. He was that strong. He could have. And 2 weeks later, he met me in the back and asked me to come over to his house and tell him and his wife how to be saved. And I did. Now, let me tell you something.
the day we live in, we don't have to put up with it. But in that day, you're not going to have a choice. It's going to come from the top. This man's going to be full of blasphemies. Anything that's holy and good, it will not be good then. Now, I'm going to shock you. Look at Matthew 24. We're running out of time. Look at Matthew 24. There's no way you can teach on this stuff in one sermon. Matthew 24, I want you to look at it real quick. Look at verse 15. I'm going to go ahead and start. Matthew 24:15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, that's what we're talking about, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in the Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is in the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. Hey, listen. He said, pray, but pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now, that's Jesus talking to the Jews. That's Jesus talking to the Jews. He wasn't talking to Gentiles. He was preaching to the Jews. He said there's a time coming that somebody's going to hate you so bad it's going to turn your world into hell on earth. He hates Jews. The Antichrist, you'd think he wouldn't. At first, he has a love affair with them. They all love him. But about halfway through, he shows his real colors and he hates the Jews and he wants to destroy them. And that's what Jesus was talking about. Get ready. Be ready because you're not going to like what's happening. You better flee. And now, think about this. In order for a person in the world that we live in to have one world leader, in order for that person to be one world leader, think about this. He's not going to be American. The world's not going to follow an American. No. The Jew is only going to follow a Jew. And the Arab is only going to follow an Arab. And there are some scriptures that talk about him coming from Lebanon. Could it be that he is a part Arab, part Jew, that grew up in Lebanon? He knows everything about the Jew and he knows everything about the Muslim. And he's going to be a uniter of religions. Put those two together. You say, that never happened. Well, we got churches right here. We got churches right here in our country, probably one or two around here, that's talking about Chrislam uniting Christianity with Islam. Already happened. Don't you think, look, if he's a Jew, they'll follow him. If he can do signs and wonders, they're going to say he's from God. And Jesus is warning them, don't you trust that man because about halfway through, he's going to start killing Jews too. Right. Now, Jewish nation is the most hated nation on planet Earth. It always has been. Why? Why is that? That little sliver of property on a map about that big compared to ours about that big on a map. Why does everybody hate them? Why does Egypt, one of the most powerful nations in the world, hate them? Why does Russia? Why does China? We're the only friend they got. If it was up to liberal religious people and leaders and liberal politicians, we wouldn't be their friend. It's only old-fashioned Bible believers like me and you that want to stay their friend because we know that God loves them and that's his apple of his eye. Now, let me tell you something. This man's going to get them together. Don't you see that happening?
Yeah.
Everywhere you go, they talk peace, 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 peace. But he's really going to be anti-Semitic. Now, last but not least, Revelation chapter 13. One more time. Last but not least, Revelation 13. There's no way we could go through everything in one night. But look at verse 2. Revelation 13, verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, that's the devil, gave him his power and his seat and his great authority. 2 Thessalonians again, chapter 2 again, verse 9. even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. Unrighteousness is deceivable. All deceivableness of unrighteousness is in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Did you know, I believe he's going to be an occultic type person? The world loves the occult. Ouija boards, fortune tellers, palm readers. I'm going to go to palm reader, fortune teller one day, and I'm give her some money, and she's going to say, okay, what's your name? I'm saying, I don't know, you tell me. And she's going to say, let me tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm going to say, tell me what happened yesterday. That's how I know what happened yesterday. I don't know about tomorrow, but I can tell you, then she don't know about either one of them. But he's going to be an occultic type leader. Now you think the occult, you think of horns and pitchfork and red tail. No, sir, there's a lot of people in the occult. They follow devilish things, and some of them don't even know it. They don't know it. Superstitious, old wives' tale. That's occultic stuff. Masons. Uh-oh, he didn't say that. Some of these religious organizations, occultic. Anything that's very secretive is usually very wrong. Watch out for churches who are very secretive. You don't have that problem here. You can see all our flaws. There ain't no way to hide ours. But watch out for secretive things. And that, look, he's going to pull fire down from heaven. He's going to do it. And he's going to deceive people. He's going to deceive people. And you say, I just can't see that. But you got to think, he's the opposite of Jesus Christ. He is the Antichrist. He's the great deceiver of mankind. Yeah. They'll believe a lie and they'll follow him and be damned. And look, don't you know by the end of the tribulation period, they know they're following the wrong one. And yet, when God pours out his wrath, the Bible says they'll shake their fist and curse God. Well, they wasn't born that way. Somebody had to convince them to be like that. And it'll be the Antichrist. Watch who you follow. Watch who you follow. Don't follow me. Follow him. And follow me as I follow him. Amen? That's what the Apostle Paul, he said, follow me as I follow him. Don't follow me. I mean, you follow me, we both fall in a ditch. If I follow you, I know I will. I've done it. But I tell you one thing, I'm going to follow him. And here's how you know the fake. Learn the real thing real good.
I like old cars.
I know all you old men like old cars, don't you? All old men like old cars. And but a lot of times I'll see one, somebody say, did you see that GTO? That was a 1970 GTO. I said, no, it wasn't. Oh, yeah, it said it right on the side. I said, it's fake. It's the Le Mans. They took Le Mans off and stuck GTO on there. It ain't the same thing. It ain't nothing. And somebody else said, did you see that Shelby Cobra go down through there? I said, no, it ain't. It's a fake. It's a Mustang. Well, that's the same thing. I said, no, Shelby Cobra's a lot different than a Mustang. They just put the name on there. That's all they did. And just because it has a name stuck on it don't mean it's real. A lot of Christians are that way. They got Christ on them, but not in them. They're a fake. They're a false, F-A-U-X. Is that how you say it? False. Faux. I'm from Lancaster. It looks like false to me. But it is a false. Amen. And the Antichrist is a fake. And many will be deceived. And right now are being deceived.
Right.
Just as Jesus is the giver of light and life, Satan is the opposite. Just as Jesus is the truth, the Antichrist is the lie. Just as Jesus is the lover of mankind, the Antichrist is the enemy of mankind.
Just as Jesus said, I came to give life and give it more abundantly.
Yeah.
Satan, he says, comes to take it away and to steal it. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. The good news is, if you're saved, you're never going to see him. People's tried to figure out who he is. Somebody said he was Henry Kissinger. Somebody said he was John F. Kennedy. Somebody said he was Barack Obama. A lot of them acted like him, but they wasn't him. But there is one coming. But thank God, he said, he that letteth, now let him be taken out of the way. We go up when the Holy Spirit comes up. We've been saved eternally. By the way, if you've ever been saved, you can't be saved.
Right.
Let's stand. Father, thank you for your enlightenment. I know